The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to Pro Wrestling Unscripted here this Wednesday, February 8th. Forgot what day it was there for a second. The days kind of run together. And we've got some big news here tonight for you all over the place, from Cape Championship Wrestling to WWE. We got some huge TNA news, some terrible news, some good news. We're all over the spectrum. Here with me tonight, as always, the Wednesday gang. Asa Gray's down at the end of the table. That's the five-star man.
All five.
Five of them. Ali Abear is to the right of me.
Hello.
Who is now officially 21.
Yeah.
So leave her alone, Jeff. Jeff O'Dell.
Okay, cool.
Stop making fun of her. She's not a teenager.
And she hasn't been for 2 years.
For a while now. It's been such a long time. It's been all the long time. And Dalton Anthony's to my left, the Big D.
Yo.
And let's start this off real quick with Cape Championship Wrestling. As you know, we have a healthy working relationship with Cape Championship Wrestling. They made a big announcement the other day. Jason Wells, the COO, I guess you would say, of Cape Championship, the COO of CCW, Dalton, made a post, actually a video, mm-hmm. saying the unthinkable has happened. Double H has resigned as Cape Championship Wrestling GM after the controversy coming out of Cage Chaos. They have a new GM that they have announced, but they have not named.
They have an interim GM
that they have announced, but they have not named.
Well, yeah, well, they've not, decided on. They haven't decided yet.
Right.
They already have an interim.
They've got a right now GM. They've got a guy coming in. But if you remember correctly, that's what Hunter Hendricks was at first. He was a one-time only thing.
Even in the video, Jason said that we're saying interim for now. We want to see how it works. We don't want to tie anybody to it.
Right.
Until we know we like them. They like being here.
Right.
So.
Now, we, of course, at Podzilla 1985 have a pretty good idea of who it is. We're not going to name names though, because until we get confirmation, we're not fake news. We don't want to throw out fake stuff like that. So we're not going to name names yet, but as soon as we find out a name, we will let you know. And again, if you're just tuning in, like this is live, Hunter Hendricks has stepped down as Cape Championship Wrestling GM for reasons we don't know, tied to what happened to Cage Chaos, the big controversy coming out of Dalton where the Brandon Barbed Wire accused him of being dishonest.
Yeah,
which
we all
know is untrue.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I don't blame Hunter one bit. He's done a fantastic job for CCW.
He has.
And just to have the bravery of Brandon, for one, doing it at the show, for two, putting our show on blast for reporting on something whenever we had a statement from Hunter saying he definitely didn't do it.
Yeah.
But we are wrong. So it's one of those, I don't blame Hunter one bit. I know he's innocent. They dropped the investigation. So I don't know what much more Brandon wants. I really hope he doesn't start focusing on Lane Austin, because Lane is an amazing official.
Lane is an amazing official, and let's talk real quick about Lane Austin. Asa, you saw a post from Lane earlier that you told us about right before the show went on the air that was kind of funny and ridiculous. Will you tell me about that?
Yeah, him talking about apparently all of his wrestling friends who call him bird-chested. And then it's him doing like 375.
Something that the cast of Pro Wrestling Unscripted couldn't do together.
Calm down, String Bean. If you think Shannon Young doesn't lift heavy weights, you're wrong. That's how I got this hernia. I love Lane Austin.
Yeah.
He's just the best. And, I really wish he would wrestle. You know, everyone keeps going, why doesn't Lane wrestle? Because the dude looks amazing. Yeah. He can bench 375.
Do you know where we're going to see Lane this weekend?
Where at?
We're going to see him at Stride Pro Wrestling in Marion, Illinois.
We went to the last event together, and that was exciting.
And if you hear us talk about this local wrestling and you want to support it and you're in the area, you should definitely be there at Marion, Illinois at the Illinois Star Center Mall, Marion, at the CMA Dojo.
Yes.
Bell time is at 6:30. Adults are $10 ticket. Kids 12 and under are $5. Amazing matches so far. We said the card last week that we got. I was actually texting one of the people today to see if there's any other ones. We definitely have the triple threat for the number one contender for Heath Hatton's title. It's going to be Roger Mathis, who is one of the guys in Midwest Mafia. The
big scary one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that doesn't narrow it down, but
the biggest scariest one.
Axe from, he was the one that teamed with.
From Demolition?
No, from, Damage Inc., the one that teamed with Scott Phoenix.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
And then Chris Hargis, which was in that six-man.
Yes.
With Triple X. Triple X is going to be defending their tag team titles against Midwest Mafia. And then the match that I think we're most excited to see, just because we know him, Billy Hills is going to be wrestling Scott Phoenix, which I am way excited for that match.
It's always good to see Billy. Yeah. Like, that's always a treat. Billy and Lane are both at the Stride shows like they are with Cape Championship Wrestling.
And Sarah.
And Sarah. Yeah, can't leave
Sarah. I
don't
think Sarah's going to be at this one, though.
Yeah, I don't. We were talking to her at
We CCW. Talked to her after CCW, yeah. And she said she didn't. It didn't look like they had anything planned for her for this show, at least.
But, so the one name that I know that we are all excited for, El Fabuloso, is going to be in action. And I am super stoked for that. El Magnifico's partners from last time.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I'm really excited to see the Scott Phoenix match and Billy Hills match because I love Billy. Billy's great. And I really like Scott Phoenix a lot. Like, I feel bad because, like, of how hard we rag on him at the shows. But, like,
oh,
I'm a legit
emo kid.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's the one that I yell the emo band names at.
Yeah. Yeah, gotcha.
But I don't mean it, like, disrespectfully because I do actually think he's actually really good.
He is, yeah.
And he was one of the people that just got his, you know, graduation certificate.
Yep.
At the last show that we went to.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, and that championship match, Triple X, after the last show, the way they ended it with Midwest Mafia just destroying everybody.
Yeah.
I would be really worried if I was those two. Now, I mean, Team Triple X is really good, but it's Red Daniels and Jake Capone. And those two guys, they are just monsters.
I saw them.
They're big. Did you see them after the show? They're bigger than you.
Ah.
They are.
Bigger doesn't always mean tougher, though. You realize that, right? Did you ever see the match between of Antonio Inoki and the great Antonio?
Well, that was because Antonio Inoki is a crazy person.
It's because he's like one of the best fighters ever.
Ever, yeah.
Yeah. But that was pretty good. No, it's going to be a good show, and I'm excited to watch it. I enjoyed the last time we went there. It's a little bit more intimate than CCW.
Yeah.
You kind of feel like you're more, because you're right there. There's no guardrails. Everything is right there. The arena is smaller that they wrestle in.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit more intimate. And yeah, it should be a good show. We're pretty excited about that.
So if you're one of the people that listen to us from CCW, if you found out from us there, we're going to be at Stride.
Yeah.
Hopefully front row if we can get there early enough.
Yeah. And if you're going to go there and pick up tickets, make sure you use the promo code PZ85 when you purchase your tickets.
That's not a thing.
They will be confused.
They'll look at you weird.
But yeah, no.
Kill my joy.
But yeah, if you listen to us from Cape and you go to CCW and you're off on Saturday, please go to Stride. It's amazing.
Yeah. We'll do that. We'll all go there. And it'll be 100% good. Something else that's really good. We're going down the list here real quick. Start off, Bret Hart is 100% cancer free.
Awesome.
That's good news. The bad news is it came out today that Mike Adamley, I always mispronounce it. Is it Adamley?
Adamley.
That he has been diagnosed with dementia.
Oh.
And part of that comes from his, I think I read he played football for many, many years and he may have concussion. You know, he may have the CTE. And that's real unfortunate. And there's a part of me that kind of feels bad about all the jokes that were made about him not remembering wrestlers' names and stuff like that. Cause, I mean, and maybe I'm wrong.
It's not, that wasn't, I genuinely don't think that was him not remembering them.
I certainly hope
he was
not.
Just making a mistake.
I certainly hope so. Because then you would feel terrible about all of the, Jeff Harvey, he can't remember the guy's name. Cause there's something that's actually wrong with his memory.
But to be fair too, it wasn't just him like Jeff Harvey, it's Jamaican me crazy, Kofi. Like he also just was a.
Did you not like that?
No,
that was the.
It was just
worst.
He was just a bad announcer.
Yeah.
And then they tried to turn him heel.
They tried to make him GM.
Madamley's entire run was a no go.
Which was really.
Which, but again, it's not like we're saying we're happy that this happened to him because.
Oh,
it's
absolutely
terrible,
not.
But.
And you know, it's a shame that Adamley didn't work out in WWE because he actually had a pretty good pedigree. He worked with American Gladiators. He played football.
That's why I'm glad Mauro Ranallo is actually doing really well. Because he also has a very good pedigree, but he's killing it in WWE.
Yep.
He's doing so well that they added two more people to the announce table with him. And I know that's not a shot at him. That's just a joke.
Yeah.
But I just think it's a shame. The last time we watched SmackDown, and I've never seen it, or I just don't remember it, but this was the first time I saw all four of them together at the announce table.
Right.
And it just felt bloated.
They couldn't add an extra 2 foot to that table.
Well, and it's not even that. Well, and the reason they don't is because Tom Phillips isn't he's not an announcer.
Yeah.
He literally just does those little, like, commercial segues.
But he sits out there with him the entire time.
I don't know if he does. Because, like, when 205 Live, whenever they do 205 Live on Raw, or not 205 Live, when they do the Cruiserweight segments on Raw, when they go to the announcers, which they always do, you see Corey Graves, you see Michael Cole, and you see Austin Aries. Byron Saxton is gone. Mm. Like, he's not even at the table. So it wouldn't surprise me if Tom – like, I feel like they've cut to the SmackDown announce table and Tom Phillips wasn't there. It's just JBL, Ronaldo, and Otunga for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, they could just drop Otunga and...
They know. They, like, have... a Mauro Phillips team would be great.
Yeah.
Like, the dream team would be Mauro... would be put Phillips back with Corey Graves on Raw, get rid of Saxton, and then, like, let Cole do whatever backstage role he's interested in, and then you can have Mauro and JBL, I guess, do color.
I mean, if they hadn't put Daniel Bryan in the position as GM on SmackDown, I really like the Ronaldo Daniel Bryan team from
CWC.
CWC. God. Yeah, I thought they did a really good job together. But...
Which, speaking of Corey Graves, we didn't talk about it last week. Last week was Corey Graves' last episode of NXT.
Yes.
Oh. Which they did a thing that I was not expecting at all, but it was really, really cool. They did like a career retrospective, like video package for him, like to send him up to Raw full time. And it just kind of covered his, as he was a wrestler in FCW when he wrestled in NXT, his concussion that he got, like his reaction to finding out he wasn't going to be able to wrestle anymore, all the time he put into the Performance Center, just trying to find anything else he could do. And then just him as an announcer growing, and now he's one of the best that WWE has in general.
And that's great. So you talk about being happy that Mauro Ranallo did mm-hmm. well, but I'm super happy that Corey Graves did well, because I remember when they made the announcement, when Triple H said, you know, we want to offer you, what was it, a 1-year contract at first, I think it was, to do commentary after his injury mm-hmm. or 2-year or whatever. And I always thought he would do well because Corey Graves is a talented guy.
Yeah.
But when they move them up to Raw or SmackDown, it's not that they're not good, but it's like Mick Foley said when he did, you know, commentary for SmackDown. Mm-hmm. When you have people yelling in your ear, it can be disorienting, and some people just can't do it.
Right.
But Corey Graves has done such a good job of it, where I went before from being afraid that he might not make it
right.
to now I'm confident, and I mean, it doesn't matter what I say, but proud that right. he's done so well. Because we've been Corey Graves fans for a long, long time.
Ever since he was a wrestler.
Yeah, when he was a wrestler. Yeah. His FCW days with Vader's son.
Jake Carter.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, love those two. And like, if you watch him on Raw and then you watch him on NXT, you can't tell a difference mm-mm. aside from who he's talking to.
Yeah.
Shut up Byron instead of shut up Tom.
Shut up
Parker. And I also really very much liked that the as he's like kind of addressing the camera, Elias Sampson's music hits and he comes out and he's like, really? This is the way you end it for me? And then Elias just kind of turns and gives him a little wave. I like that.
Yeah, that's another guy I wish they would do more with, but, mm-hmm. you know. I lost my train of thought.
And then
there.
Tonight on NXT, it's their new announced team of Tom Phillips and Nigel McGuinness with Percy Watson just kind of chiming in.
So they kept the David Otunga character there.
I like Percy Watson a lot more than
I like Percy Watson too, but I just.
Otunga.
I have never liked 3-man commentary teams.
I'm cool with it.
Except for WCW. WCW, when it was Eric Bischoff, Shivani. Bobby Heenan, and,
Shivani, wasn't it?
Well, Mike Tenay. And then they replaced Bischoff with Shivani.
That's right.
And he was good too. You know, everyone gives Tony Shivani a lot. He was good when he was good.
It's the greatest night in the history of our sport.
Like I said, he was good when he was good.
All three episodes of the Nitro.
But they
cumulative.
made that team work. Like,
yeah. And honestly, that's what I'm really feeling like what's happening on Raw. Is Graves and Cole play off each other really well, and then you have Saxton as the punching bag. Whereas SmackDown, it's like you have Mauro as the anchor of that team, with JBL being JBL, and David Otunga with, again, the hard-hitting call on SmackDown of, what a jerk!
I think also the reason that the WCW team worked so well was because, one, you had Bobby Heenan.
Yeah. Right there.
And when you have the level of talent of someone like Bobby Heenan, they could do that in WWE, you know, replace David Otunga with Paul Heyman or, you know, someone that's just right. that good at talking. And it would feel very different than the announced team lineup that they have right now. I don't know. You can't do a 3-man lineup.
You just put the idea in my head of Mauro, Heyman, even keep Otunga, because Otunga's not enough dead weight to bring down those two.
Steve McMichael wasn't on Nitro.
But JBL doesn't contribute near enough to help balance out Mauro. For me, anyway.
Yeah. He doesn't. I mean, I like JBL more now than I did probably a year ago. Cause there was a time where I really, like, I couldn't stand the sound of his voice. If I heard him talking on SmackDown, I didn't want to listen. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of, I don't want to say matured, but he's gone into more of a neutral role. I can't stand heel commentary when they're, I mean, not that JBL wasn't good as a heel, but I don't know. Heel commentary is very, very iffy with me. So the JBL is more neutral. Like, he doesn't just support everything bad people do, like with Dolph Ziggler attacking Jerry Lawler.
Right.
Or Jerry Lawyer, as he called him.
we watched a lot of Botchamania today.
We did.
And that's what I love about Corey Graves, too, is like, there are people he just doesn't like.
Yeah.
But then there's also, you know, faces that he does like and heels that he dislikes, you know.
Yeah,
he actually feels like a person with opinions.
Everyone's just trying to recreate that Jesse Ventura, Bobby Heenan magic from when they did with Gorilla Monsoon and Vince McMahon, where you have the babyface announcer who's calling everything down the middle. He's the good guy. And then you have the bad guy commentator, but not everyone is Jesse Ventura. Not everyone is, Bobby Heenan, for God's sake.
No one is.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, say what you will about Jesse Ventura, but I don't know anyone that could touch Bobby Heenan.
I will say I do think I need to go back and watch some older Raws where it was Coach in that role.
Oh, it's good.
Because I remember hating Coach.
Yeah.
Like, I hated Coach so much, but it was for every correct reason.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, I don't think it was like the when Michael Cole was a heel.
Right.
Like, that was just bad.
It wasn't X-Pac heat.
Yeah.
It was just heat.
Which is what I had for Coachman, but I think I need to go back and actually, like, watch his stuff and be like, oh, no, he was just really good.
Yeah. It was like the guy that came into GameStop and told me about how much he hated Rico because he you know, I won't say what he said, but I was like, you know, that's the point. Like, he got you.
Do you get it?
Got the line in your mouth there. We have a very sad anniversary to celebrate, quote unquote, today. Do you know what today is, Dalton?
The 8th.
1 year ago.
1 year ago on the 8th. 1 year ago on the 8th. Oh, no. It's been a year.
1 year ago today, Daniel Bryan retired.
Yep. Which he talked about, like, they were in Seattle on Tuesday for SmackDown, and he talked about the last time he was there was when he announced his retirement.
In one of the just most heart-wrenching segments, you know, that's ever been. I've never been a big Daniel Bryan promo fan. Like, I don't think he's bad, but he was kind of like RVD to me. He always was kind of laid back.
Yeah.
But that promo he gave, and it wasn't even a promo. It was a speech.
Yeah.
Let me fix that. But that was one of the greatest speeches that really, like, I had tears in my eyes when I watched it. It got me. When he talked about his dad, especially, and his dad seeing him before he passed away, that got me.
Like, and him actually giving time to, like, plug a charity.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
In the middle of his retirement speech, just.
And then thank God they didn't show what happened when he went backstage, because then I probably would have just opened my casket, climbed in it, and closed it, said, I'm good.
Oh, with him and
when
Brie.
When he collapsed, when Brie held him, that picture.
Daniel Bryan promo, go back, whenever he was feuding with Cena at that SummerSlam where he got screwed over, and then watch that from WrestleMania 30, which was his last run, his last real run. And just, you don't have to watch the matches. Don't watch anything that Triple H did. Just watch Daniel Bryan stuff. So good. Like the Daniel Bryan.
But that was a whole different Daniel Bryan than we'd seen in the rest of his career.
Yeah.
Like, there was a fire underneath him. Cause I know what you mean. Like, cause the majority of his career was just that laid back dude.
Vegan.
You know,
The vegan character, the loser.
But they actually gave him,
you
know, when they gave him that main event story, he turned it on.
And
it was so good.
When they presented him as an A, I don't want to bring it up, but when they presented him as an A player and they said he was a B player and he was showing how good he was. He was fantastic.
You're undercutting it. He was a B-plus player.
Even the run he did that led to the Yes Movement when he kind of turned heel on.
He
was like the douchey boyfriend to AJ.
Yeah, that was great.
Like, and he was just
his
that
reward
kind of
for that
top.
Was he got, what, eight seconds at WrestleMania?
Yep.
But it made his career.
It really did.
From that point on, that's when he became Daniel Bryan.
Because that started the Yes chant.
True.
And then Team Hell No. All of that.
He did a good job. And it's one of those tragic, like Corey Graves. Like, yeah, he's great, but what could he have been?
Right.
If he didn't have to retire. Because I believe Corey Graves would have been phenomenal.
Do you want to know who his last feud was before he got that concussion?
Corey Graves?
Yeah.
I don't.
Sami Zayn.
Oh, was it really?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Another guy that is great, but what could he do if they would let him?
Oh, yeah, no.
He posted a thing on Twitter, like, oh, it's 4 years ago was the first day I walked into work at WWE.
Petty.
And Kevin Owens' response was,
Petty.
That's cool. It's been 2.5 years. I'm a 2-time Intercontinental Champion, longest running Universal Champion, and NXT Champion. But you did stuff too, buddy.
Goddamn, I didn't know he was friends with Kevin Casey.
Petty. Petty.
But it was amazing, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Real quick, before I get to the other thing about this, did you see, Kevin Owens posted about the Fastlane poster?
Yes.
Because apparently they photoshopped Goldberg's beard like black almost.
What?
No, that's what he wanted to know.
Cause he's like, can you Photoshop my beard too? Like, don't change the color. Just make it look better.
Yeah. And then people were like, but why did they do that? Why did you Photoshop Goldberg's beard? To make him look younger?
Only part of him, I was going to say, cause it's the only part of him that's aged.
They could literally just say, hey, Goldberg, you want to dye that beard up like Undertaker dyes his hair?
You want to know speaking of like them Photoshopping it, the newest patch for 2K17. You can take the hair dye and put it on his beard. Now you can have modern, because his body hasn't changed in 10 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can actually make his beard. Yeah.
We do need to talk. Like, you need to add that to the list whenever you want to put it in.
What's that?
Of the Fastlane card.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't write that down.
Well, we have plenty of time because Fastlane's not for another couple weeks, right?
Yeah. But Elimination Chamber is Sunday.
It is. We're gonna get to that in a second. The other part of that Daniel Bryan 1 year anniversary. You know who other what other anniversary is today?
You messed it up twice.
Anniversary.
Yeah.
Story.
What is it?
Titus O'Neil.
Oh.
Same show. You guys might remember this. Titus
O'Neil. 5 minutes later.
Made the mistake of hugging Vince McMahon or pulling him in some way.
He just like grabbed his arm and like jostled him.
And no one knows why he did it. Like, I don't think we ever got an explanation.
The most accepted answer is that he was telling Vince to let Stephanie go before him.
Which, okay. Like, one, I get it. I guess you want to be a gentleman.
But not. But at that moment.
How?
But he's your boss.
Yes, yes. How petty is Vince McMahon to suspend Titus O'Neil for 2 months for touching him?
Well, if there's something I've learned about Vince McMahon through action figures, is he has the largest arms out of anybody and doesn't weigh by touching them.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. I'm about to say, like, he doesn't weigh by breaking that material.
He's a crazy person.
Yeah. But that's just awful. I remember when Titus O'Neil got suspended, because I know you guys aren't big fans of Titus. I'm not.
No, I don't
hate
him. I'm
not in love with the man, but I think he has his place. In wrestling, like, he is a decent character, especially then. They've kind of ruined him since then, because he has built up so much goodwill through his charity, through his, be a dad thing. Mm-hmm. Like, he has done so much that they could have worked with and they didn't. And then when he got derailed from the suspension, there was a bunch of goodwill built up for him of, oh, well, that's ridiculous. Bring Titus back. There were signs in the crowd. People were chanting for Titus.
And they did.
They did. And they let him do a promo against,
And then they let him actually talk and wrestle.
Who did he promo against?
Darren Young? Was it probably Darren Young?
It may have been Darren Young.
Cause that's the only thing he's done of note.
There was one promo that he did when he came back that was so bad.
Yeah.
That everyone just kind of went, well, never mind.
And they're
mind.
Like, oh yeah, that's why he's where he is.
Keep him in an ambassador role. He's great. Everyone had, like, what the best promoters, the best people, the best bosses are the ones that find the good in people and use that. They show, it's like they always said about Paul Heyman when he worked with ECW and you had this.
He put a spotlight on people's positives
and
he hid
the
negatives.
Yeah. But they don't do that in WWE. Mm-hmm. They highlight everything.
They think it's funny to
embarrass you.
Spotlight the negatives.
Yeah. It's in Vince McMahon's mind. It's funny to embarrass people and make them look bad.
Yeah.
And to hell with like the consequences of
also,
it.
Also, speaking of Darren Young, he got surgery today on his elbow.
Yes.
We don't have a timeline on return.
But if it's
not
elbow.
That you would notice.
Yeah.
But
well, I mean, I haven't seen Bob Backlund in 3 months. So.
Jesus Christ. There's another guy that if you would have strapped a rocket to him at one point, he wouldn't have been champion. But
they did. He got hurt.
Did they?
Yes, they were feuding for the tag team championships with the Usos?
Who?
Oh, no, it was New Day. It was New Day.
I was going to say, because the New Day beat them for that their record run.
I'm talking about as a tag team run, though. I'm talking about as just Darren Young.
I don't see him doing much of note. Like, I don't have anything against Darren Young, but he's never really done anything to impress me.
I'll tell you what he did. He came out as homosexual.
Which is huge.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, at a time when America's was mm-hmm. being so progressive and going towards, you know, equality and equal rights for homosexuals and stuff like that, he came out. It was all over TMZ. It was all over the news. Here's a guy, Darren Young, who's a low card guy, low mm-hmm. to mid card. They could have turned that into something huge, just like when Stacey Keibler did Dancing with the Stars and they didn't promote it. It's like, what the hell are you thinking?
And I'm fine with him not, because that would just, because you know, as soon as he wins the United States Championship, the week after he comes out.
Joke character?
No, well, I mean that, but also everyone is just going to be like, oh, look, that's just Vince doing a gross publicity grab, exploiting.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's all it would be.
Maybe you're misunderstanding. Like, I'm not saying they should have done it. I'm shocked they didn't. These are the same people that exploited Russia shooting down the planes in Ukraine. These are the same people that exploited the Iraqi war. Mm-hmm. You're telling me you're above exploiting Darren Young being gay? Like, that's mm-hmm. insane. Like, why would they not do that?
They turned him face the week after it happened.
That's true.
It was instant.
And he even did a thing, because he's like, no, I don't remember his real name, but he's like, Darren Young's not gay. that's the character I play on TV. The person playing the role is, which I actually liked a lot. Like,
which yeah. is, yeah, it's fine. But Stephanie McMahon also at the time said that they were gonna, do you remember when she said they were gonna create these new characters? They were gonna push these issues of, you know, homosexual characters and stuff like that. And it was like, okay, you're basically saying
it's
this
all
for
these
Darren
great
Young.
Sound bites and.
Right. And then nothing came of it.
Yeah.
And then I don't, until the Bob Backlund thing, I don't remember Darren Young for the past 2 years. Other than feuding with Titus, which probably was with
Bob
Backlund.
And that's all he's done. He's been a primetime player and he's done Make Darren Great Again. And he's been, okay, I'm the good guy coming out of the primetime player's breakup.
Well,
he
was in Millions of Scholars. He tag teamed with Damian Sandown for like 3 months.
Allie, when we were at the show in Cape, didn't they team together? Yeah, because we were at the concession stand buying stuff.
And you heard, Damian Sandow's music.
Yes.
And,
and I was like, well, I miss Damian Sandow.
Cause yeah, like we heard his music. I was like, Titus is suspended. Damian Sandow's here.
Yeah.
Like, it was literally like, well, Titus is suspended. Well, no.
Because that was when I thought, okay, if Enzo and Cass come out while we're out here, I'm going to be mad. But thankfully they weren't. They were later.
They came
on.
Out later.
They were soft.
And we were bummed because we're like, oh, well, that means Enzo and Cass aren't here because there's our tag team match.
Yep. And so, who did they fight instead? Was it Rusev?
Remember.
It was the.
No, because Rusev and Ryback had a match. Enzo and Cass wrestled.
It was them and Big Show against the Wyatts.
That's what it was.
No, because Kane. Oh yeah, because Kane wrestled Bray. That's right.
Yep.
That's right because Luke Harper kept flexing,
doing the muscle pose.
Yeah.
I still don't understand that.
And he's still doing that, by the way, at house shows.
He's a beautiful man. I don't care what anyone says. Talking about returns. Well, more injuries, real quick. This is the sad news of the week. Seth Rollins is going to be out for at least 8 weeks.
It's a minimum. Basically, WrestleMania is a possibility, but it is far from a guarantee. Which that is the best case scenario they have. Clearly, because then you can go forward with the Triple H Seth Rollins match. I also very much like it because it means neither of them have to lose at Fastlane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Between him and Samoa Joe.
Right. Dalton, if this was John Cena, how long would he be out for?
You said 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Was he on TV yesterday? Because he should have been. Because that's his healing factor.
Yep. Damn Wolverine.
He injured it last week. He was doing reps Thursday.
I saw an article on, I want to say it was PW Insider, but it may have been, it was one of the dirt sheets, quote unquote. Yep. Where they said that there may be some heat on Samoa Joe for the injury. I did not read the article because I don't generally read the does so and so have heat backstage because it's usually just
the majority of those are because like those are the same ones that like oh Sami Zayn is disliked backstage
right
because of a promo that he cut. Like,
there's no real evidence.
It's just the speculation that they can slap on a headline,
especially with Joe being made such a big deal of in the past 2 weeks. You know. Yeah. With Triple H coming out and saying, he tweeted out, this is where Joe belongs in the main event of Raw.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can really tell that there's some big heat on Joe for that one.
Yeah.
Does Joe have a Fastlane match yet?
No.
Okay.
I think they're saving that. Like, I'm sure that was the Triple H or that was the Rollins match, obviously.
Yeah.
That was what was going to happen at Fastlane.
Cause I was about to say Reigns because that was the feud that we had on Monday, but Strowman gets Reigns.
Yep.
Or Reigns going to beat Strowman.
We'll get there.
We'll feed you bird, baby.
Wait a minute.
There are some returns coming. Finn Balor and Hideo Itami. And Hideo Itami's been tweeting about this for a while, hasn't he?
Yeah, Hideo Itami has officially been cleared, so he can pretty much come back whenever.
What about Finn Balor?
Finn Balor is, I don't know if he's actually been cleared, but, and these are all according to Dave Meltzer.
Reputable source, generally.
For the most part. Especially because he also doesn't really deal with the, like, I mean, he was someone who talked about, he thought Sami Zayn had heat because of the promo they showed, whatever. He's right, he's wrong, he's a person.
Right.
But he genuinely has inside information.
Right, right.
Balor is due back pretty much any time as well.
Probably Fastlane. Like, I don't think to wrestle, but maybe to make an appearance.
Yeah, he could, like, to set something
to
up.
Set up
like
something
a Seth Rollins whenever he came back.
Right,
like,
yeah, right.
And then, but yeah, so.
And then you have Hulk Hogan on here, and, I'm guessing this, you mentioned this before and I had heard it. What was it? It was
basically
Meltzer said
someone asked him on Twitter if he thought that Hogan would be back anytime soon. And he said sooner rather than later, which makes me think, I think he'll be at WrestleMania.
It's gotta be WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, why would they waste Hulk Hogan on Fastlane?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying that Hulk Hogan's above everyone else on Fastlane, but if you have a return like Hulk Hogan,
WWE would absolutely put him as above everybody else on their roster.
But I'm not. I'm not, Asa, is what I'm saying.
But you're
I'm
not the issue. It's WWE.
I am the issue, clearly. Does anyone want to see Hulk Hogan back other than me?
Yeah, like, I'm fine with him being back in the company because, like, we've talked it to death that he didn't deserve to be fired, but I don't want to see him have any sort of on-screen role again.
Not even if it's just an on-screen role.
Nope.
Like with Paul Heyman when he came back.
You know what I was okay with?
Because to me, he is nowhere near as entertaining as Paul Heyman. He has one speed, and that is Coke Yelly. And that's all he does. And I don't want to see that on TV.
You don't think that he would do a better job than some of the other personalities they have on TV?
Like who? Who would you put Hulk Hogan on? Other than someone who's up and coming like a young star.
I think that Hulk Hogan would do a great job as a GM or as something like that. Like I don't understand why you disagree with that.
He would not be able to help himself to teasing that he should be in the world title match.
If Hulk Hogan went out there and just said whatever he wanted, sure. But if you bring Hulk Hogan back in a, this is your job, go out and do it, and not say, okay, Hogan, go do whatever you want, then Hulk Hogan will go out and push what you want him to push. And if he's in that role, I think he would do fine.
I don't want him in a regular role.
I just don't find him entertaining.
Like, and it's not that I don't find him entertaining. The last time I was okay with Hulk Hogan being in the WWE was right before he got fired. He was on Tough Enough. You know, he's fine on Tough Enough. You know, if you want to talk to somebody about somebody has an it factor and that's something that the kids need to learn, it's him. That's once a week. That is on a show that I don't have to watch to enjoy the product.
I'm trying to remember who argued with me on that too, who said, no, Hogan doesn't belong on Fear. He doesn't belong on there. You don't want him to teach those kids anything. He can't teach them anything.
I don't remember
if it was
me.
You guys or if it was Zach.
It was probably
back in the
me.
Old days.
Because I didn't like him on Tough Enough. Like, I like him in that role of, like, identifying it factor and how to, like, play to people's strengths in that area. But, like, to bring in someone as a ring specialist or, like, a promo specialist even, I don't.
Because Hogan, you couldn't do a Hogan promo. You couldn't do a Hogan promo in 96 and get it over. Scott and Kevin talked about that.
Incorrect, though.
I disagree with that.
Because what year was the Rock Hogan WrestleMania match?
2001?
Because the crowd literally turned both of them face and heel.
2002.
Because like Hogan was supposed to be the bad guy.
Yeah,
and the crowd was just like, no.
And against Hulk Hogan in that, there's a nostalgia factor to that, though, where I don't think it matters what Hogan did, because he went in as the bad guy.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything. He didn't play the good role at all.
Right.
The fans just said, no, we like Hulk Hogan because we remember him, so we're going to cheer him.
Yeah.
I think he would still get that reaction today.
Well, yeah, but that's not it.
Or even as a manager. Hogan would be a great manager.
Oh, no.
Hogan would be, he'd be stealing focus.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, you remember who, like, everybody's like, Ric Flair would be a great manager. Let's put him on AJ Styles. Oh, you mean we just completely convoluted AJ Styles' character for a whole year?
I mean, the more I think about it, let's say, because my first thought was, let's say you put Hogan with a guy that doesn't connect with the crowd. You know, let's say you put him with, I don't know, pick a wrestler that doesn't really connect. The Ascension. And I know that's a terrible team to put him with, but just say you put him with the Ascension. Mm-hmm. And you go, okay, but if Ascension comes out with Hulk Hogan, the crowd's going to react. Yes, they're reacting to Hulk Hogan. They still don't care about the Ascension, because I fully believe that you can put people with other people and those people will not get the rub.
And then you get Cesaro and Heyman.
Yeah. Or anytime they put like a hot female with Lance Storm. I love Lance Storm. Don't get me wrong. But when you put like one of the hot chicks with Lance Storm and go, well, that'll get him over because now he's out there with the hot chick. No, they're cheering the hot chick.
Right.
Remember Rena Mero? Sable and Mark Mero. We'll put Sable with Mark Mero, and that'll get him over.
At this point, I'm confused because you're saying they should do that with Hogan, but you're naming all these examples of why that didn't work.
No, I was getting to the fact that I changed my mind.
Okay.
Okay, good.
I was like, I don't.
No, my first thought was, well, that's a great idea. We're talking about playing to people's strengths. Put Hogan, who is a colorful character. He is. He's larger than life. He's that old school wrestling that you don't see anymore. Put him with a new guy that doesn't get the reaction. Now you have a reaction. But then I thought, but you're just reacting to Hulk Hogan.
So, yeah, put Hulk Hogan with the Authors of Pain. No. Put Paul Ellering with the Authors of Pain, because that makes sense.
Well, it doesn't. It does.
Oh, it does.
Oh, yeah. God. Because he plays such a low-key role.
Yeah.
Like, Hogan couldn't play a low-key
Hogan
role.
No.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean when I say he has one speed. The best thing they could do is make him the new Raw GM and have Stephanie masculate him every week.
And, you know, Hogan would probably be the one person she didn't. No, that's not true. There's no one she wouldn't emasculate.
A clone of herself.
No, she would. She would still call it.
Oh, God, that would be bad.
Those promos would be amazing, though. Steph or Steph? I'd watch that.
Yeah, I would, too. So many B-words said until it got to, like, the company maximum for that hour.
The mirror slaps.
Slap, slap, slap. Yeah.
Their faces would just stand still. Like, the force of it, they would just be, like, a hand touch. Like, it would just be face-touching at that point.
Why can't they still have remember WWE New York?
Yeah.
That's because that one had a business.
I was going to say, because it cost a lot of money.
But if they still had that, you could just have Hulk Hogan host pay-per-views there. There you go.
I mean, he could do like,
he could do that from his beat shop.
Even like pre-show stuff, like.
Put him on the panel.
Like, yeah, like that's really the only role I could see Hogan.
But at the same time.
Okay in.
At the same time, like, what's the point?
But I don't, but again, it's just, it's a, I've never been a Hulk Hogan fan. So I, there's no, like, while I do believe he absolutely deserves his place in WWE as a legend and deserves his, like, you can't deny the impact he's had on professional wrestling.
Yeah, he was professional wrestling.
Yeah, I will never try to take that away from him. But I can say those things while also think that I do not want him on a television screen in 2017.
There comes a time when it's time. Everyone's time passes. Mm-hmm. It's no longer your time.
The sport has evolved.
Yeah.
It is, like, Steve Austin talks about it, Shawn Michaels talks about it, Chris Jericho talks about it, like, and it's every sport. Football, the Super Bowl that we just watched on Sunday is wildly different than Super Bowl 30.
Look at
or
UFC.
Super Bowl 15. UFC, MMA, yeah. NBA,
boxing,
baseball,
anything.
Every single sport has evolved. It's faster paced. It's, you know, it's a little bit more catering to the health of the athletes, thankfully.
Yeah.
What pro wrestling is now is character driven. It's promo driven, like it always has been, but there are nuances that you just can't say were active in the 80s.
It's more athletic. And I'm not saying that the guys, saying the guys in the 80s weren't athletes, because they clearly
were.
No.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. Like, and I'm not even saying from an in-ring, like, clearly the in-ring point, you know, between super kicks and moonsaults and everything, like, yeah, that was just.
But it's just, it's healthier at the same time.
Yeah.
Less steroids, less, people
the
partying all night.
Is
yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I just mean promo-wise and character-wise.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we were, I grew up coming in the end of the everyone's just screaming everything, and now we're kind of, everything is a gimmick, so now it's people with actual jobs who just happen to also wrestle.
I am so happy that I was in the Attitude Era and only that. Like,
so, like, yeah. I was on the tail end of, like, that. And even, like, looking back at, like, some of my most fond memories are coming from things like the Attitude Era, where it's people are just going out being themselves turned up to 11. Because to me, that is way better than.
Ugh. Whereas I grew up, this is really that generational thing. That
yeah.
It is. And
it really is. It's a matter of taste.
And I'm not saying you're wrong for wanting to see Hulk Hogan come back. And honestly, like, Hogan coming back would be huge. Like, people would, like, the crowds would go nuts. The ratings would, I'm sure, improve.
Once.
Like, briefly.
Once.
Fair.
But just personal opinion, I don't want to see Hogan back on screen.
Here's why I don't want to see Hogan back.
Give him a WrestleMania moment solo, not where he's punching out Rusev, not where he's.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, here's why I don't want Hogan to come back. As much as I would love to see it, only because let me make it clear, and I've said it before, mm-hmm. I don't like Hulk Hogan as a person.
Right.
I don't. I think he's scum.
Oh, I'm completely removing that out.
Yeah,
by the
okay,
way, this is
okay.
Just like Hogan as,
just
an
as a character.
Character yeah.
The reason I don't want Hulk Hogan to come back is even if there was a fraction of a chance that he could be put in the ring with a newer guy and make them look bad. If there was a fraction of a chance, I would say no. And there is. Mm-hmm. Just look at Goldberg. Look at The Undertaker.
That for a second?
Let's talk about it.
So they announced Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens come out. They do their promo. It's really entertaining and fun. Goldberg interrupts, calls them ladies.
2017.
Cause they're guys.
Yeah.
But he calls them ladies. That's not what they are. Cause women are worth less than men. So calling them the lesser one, Allie gets it.
And insinuating that they're probably gay for each other.
Also that.
Yeah. Good for him.
Goldberg challenges Owens to a match. Owens says no. Jericho looks like he's about to challenge him to a match, but then.
Challenges Owens.
But then has Goldberg just accepts the Owens challenge for him.
Yeah.
So Fastlane. And this is, oh, sorry. I jumped ahead. This is after Goldberg has them stay in the ring and addresses Paul Heyman's challenge. Says, I never turn down a fight. Okay, I'll wrestle Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
For the third time,
which.
Why?
He needs more of a reason.
You have three on him already.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 20, Survivor Series.
And the Rumble.
Rumble.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
I don't, which one, gross anyway.
Yep.
But then he's just, okay, now, Universal Championship at Fastlane, Goldberg versus Kevin Owens. And this is the reason I'm not excited for that. Brock Lesnar got a minute 30 at Survivor Series or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure Owens is going to get 7.
Yeah.
Which 3 of those is the pinfall.
Yeah. How fast can it be before he spear jackhammers?
Yeah.
Like, how quickly can he do it?
If he even gets the jackhammer, he might just spear him.
Okay.
It might just take a spear to beat Kevin Owens, your longest reigning Universal Champion. And
Armchair Booker. Here's what you do. You have Kevin Owens fight Goldberg at Fastlane for the title because Stephanie McMahon said, you have one more title reign in you, whatever. At Fastlane, Brock Lesnar cheats Goldberg and causes him to lose his title shot. Mm-hmm. Goldberg says, you idiot. You know, why would you do that? Brock Lesnar, even if they booked the match already, Lesnar could say, I don't care about winning. I just want you to suffer.
Right.
Because I suffered. I don't care if I hold the gold.
That's what we talked about on yesterday.
Yeah.
Was the whole, but then, you know, you could get people upset. Like, well, then Lesnar basically just, if he thinks he can beat him at WrestleMania, why not beat him for the championship?
Yeah. And that's what, like, that would be Paul Heyman. That's what Paul Heyman would be telling him.
It's like, yeah, I don't care. Like, my client is above the championships.
Yeah.
He has cemented himself as one of the greatest WWE champions of all time. Goldberg, something they would say, not what we're saying.
Lesnar does not need the title. Yeah. Lesnar never needs the title again to be threatening.
Yeah.
You know? So have Goldberg lose to Owens.
Yeah.
And then you can still set up a match between Owens and Jericho because Owens is pissed that Jericho booked him in this match against Goldberg, mm-hmm. which was just terrible all over the place. Mm-hmm. And what's really frustrating about this is that how long have we been hearing through the internet that the plan for WrestleMania was Goldberg versus Lesnar for the title and Owens is going to drop it at Fastlane? And we went, well, that's a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. They won't do that. So of course, Owens versus Goldberg at Fastlane. You can't telegraph it any easier.
Yeah.
They say Bray Wyatt's going to win Elimination Chamber. It's going to be him versus Orton for the title. Well, mm-hmm. that doesn't make much sense. Why would they just take it off Cena other than the 16 title reign?
I mean, I explained that.
You did.
Transitional champion.
So of course, what do we have at Elimination Chamber? John Cena with Bray Wyatt in there, who, by the way, why the hell is Bray Wyatt in the match? What has he ever done to deserve
because
it at this point?
Because the SmackDown roster is practically hollow at this point.
Yup.
That's what's frustrating about it. It's so obvious.
And the reason that I don't think they're going to do the Brock Lesnar costs him the championship is because I also think we're going to get the surprise appearance of, so it's Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman at Fastlane, which can't end with Braun's first loss just can't be at Fastlane to Roman Reigns.
You'd think that.
You just, they, I don't.
You'd think that, Ace.
And my out to that is you have Undertaker, you know, gong hits, whatever, Roman Reigns takes the loss, except he just lost to Samoa Joe, albeit shady, on Raw.
Right.
And then have Undertaker upset because he said, oh, this is my yard. I'm the baddest man in the history of WWE.
I mean, he's
using two Undertaker phrases.
My guess, I think I'm less worried about Braun taking the loss. Here's what I think happens. You're absolutely right. Undertaker, but I'm thinking a match gets thrown out, no contest. Because yeah. Undertaker comes in and breaks up the match.
I don't want to see that.
I would much rather see that than Braun.
Because Braun,
eat a pin.
I don't think they're going to have Braun lose, and I also don't think they're going to have Reigns lose again. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a no contest. Like, they won't even announce a winner. The bell won't even ring. The Undertaker's just there. They'll forget it.
Yeah.
And just go, oh, Undertaker's here now.
Yep.
I don't want to see Undertaker versus Reigns at WrestleMania, and here's why. Because if you have Reigns beat Undertaker, one, you beat a guy that looks like your grandpa.
Well, not his grandpa.
Not his grandpa. His grandpa's a little
Well, it depends on darker. The amount of tanner he has
right.
on.
The other thing is that I just made the darker joke. He didn't even respond. The other one is that Brock Lesnar beat Undertaker. You don't get the WrestleMania moment of, oh, passing the torch.
Because Brock Lesnar just lost, yeah.
It's almost like if they were going to do that, they should have done it 2 years, 3 years ago, whenever, God, it's been 3 years since Lesnar beat Taker at Mania. But it should have been to, I don't know, maybe
Bray
Reigns,
Wyatt,
but yeah, maybe
the
Roman
God
Reigns,
of fear?
Maybe CM Punk, maybe a bunch of people that deserved it more than Brock and Lesnar.
Yeah.
Like, it's 3 years ago and it still makes me angry.
It's the closer we get to WrestleMania, the less excited I get for it.
And that's how I get every WrestleMania, to be fair. Like, every WrestleMania, there's always at least one thing that makes
30
me go.
I was pretty hyped for.
Which one was 30 again?
The Daniel
the big
Bryan.
One.
That
the
was
best,
special.
The best one they've done in recent history.
Yeah.
I still get excited for WrestleMania. I get let down every time, but
I was jazzed when Rollins came out and won the title. I was jazzed.
This is me learning from the Royal Rumble. Remember how optimistic I was?
Yeah.
And you guys warned me.
Yeah.
No.
Their tagline is remember the Rumble. You will.
Mm-hmm.
For all the wrong reasons. We're going to talk more about Fastlane, though, in the upcoming weeks because obviously.
Yeah, it's still like 3 weeks out.
It's still 3 weeks out. Real quick, Emelina is supposed to debut next week on Raw. Good luck.
Which also, I think at this point she has 2 full weeks left that they will have been promoting her return will be the exact same amount of time she missed for being injured.
Yay! And what has she been doing in her free time? I'll tell you because I have her on Instagram. She's been traveling and, not modeling, but just hanging out in a bikini and hitting the beaches.
Yep.
And my God, like, that's a sweet gig. Like, hey, we're not going to debut you yet. Are you mad at that? No, I'm good.
Are my checks coming through?
Yeah. So okay. I can just go hang out at the beach and you're going to pay me? Yeah. No, that's the same reason Goldberg didn't come after the invasion. You're going to pay me to sit at home? I'll tell you who's next. Domino's.
No, not Domino's. Yeah, no. It's weights.
He hasn't looked at a pizza.
His eyes don't even have any fat in them.
No.
No.
Wait, what? Anyway.
I mean, you're not wrong.
So Emelina's supposed to debut next week on Raw, and I'm not optimistic.
This is not the first time that they've said next week.
It is not.
They said she was going to be at pay-per-view.
Yeah. I don't understand the whole Emelina thing. I still don't get it.
It's just the running joke of because Vince thinks it's funny, and that's...
I mean, she's basically Eva Marie.
Yeah.
She's basically Eva Marie.
But talented.
Yeah, because before she left, she had that awesome gimmick, mm-hmm. Evil Emma. With the dark lipstick and the aviator shades and the gloves and the little move during her music. That was so cool. Yeah.
And before that, she was before that, she was in NXT with Paige just doing amazing matches.
And then she was with Dana Brooke. I thought the best use of Dana Brooke so far was with Emma. And then they tried to copy it with Charlotte and it didn't work quite as well. Mm-hmm. So let's see what they're going to do with Emelina. But at this point, I'm not excited.
I want Evil Emma. Emma would have been way better.
Yes. Anything's better. Excuse me, anything's better than the first Emma, at least.
Oh, no. No, I loved that. Absolutely loved her in NXT whenever she did that.
You also like watching car crashes. That's me, actually.
Yeah,
about to say, I was like,
he likes Backyard Scientists.
Which is a car crash.
If only.
Allie, what do you think of Backyard Scientists?
It's great.
It's awful.
Amazing.
No.
So, awful. Before we move on to the XFL, speaking of awful, I just want to point out, I re-listened to that. I also listened to a Pro Wrestling Unscripted from a year ago, or maybe a year and a half. It's a while back. Mm-hmm. It was still me, Zach, and Hunter. And I don't know how much you guys listened to it back then, but we literally spent probably the first 15 minutes not talking about wrestling at all, just shooting the breeze.
Oh, there was one with Asa where they talked about Batman versus Superman.
I was
going to
say, we did the Batman versus Superman trailer one.
So the fact that we do this show so tightly now, I think we've really come into our own here at Pro Wrestling Unscripted, and I'm a little proud of us. I just want to say that. So kudos to you three.
It's almost like we've had the same roster for over a year now.
Yeah, well, except then you left, then you came back.
I was gone for like a month.
We know. Believe me.
Yeah, I read a speech.
This was XFL.
So speaking of wrestling.
You wrote it,
well,
right?
Well, speaking of sort of wrestling, this was XFL.
Yeah, their 30 for 30 aired last week. Wednesday? Yeah, sometime last week. Thursday, maybe?
I didn't watch it, but I really want to because I find the XFL was terrible, mm-hmm. but I think the story around it will be fascinating.
And Dick Ebersol's son has been doing like a podcasting rounds. Like he was on, Jericho's mm-hmm. last week. And it looks really interesting. He put a lot of work and research into it. And it looks honest too.
Yeah.
And it surprises me that the WWE is promoting it. Like they're not promoting it, but more than a few wrestlers have tweeted about it.
And it's because, Dick Ebersol and Vince McMahon are like legit best friends.
Right.
Yeah.
And so.
And that was.
And if it was made by someone other than Ebersol's son, I'm sure they would be much more, like their guard would be way raised.
You remember Beyond the Mat.
Yeah.
When Vince gave them almost full access to do that documentary. Mm-hmm. And then when the documentary came out and it wasn't even negative WWF mm-hmm. at the time. It was just honest.
Yeah.
And Vince hated that. He hated that honesty. Yeah. Allie, we've told you about the XFL before.
Uh-huh.
Just a reminder to you and anyone out there who's a little too young to remember the XFL. It was Vince McMahon's brainchild. He wanted to do football. He wanted to beat the NFL.
Yep.
Vince McMahon is very much like the Donald Trump of sports entertainment. He wants to put his name on everything. He wants to be the big dog. And he thought, I'll do the NFL better than the NFL can do. And he was wrong.
Well.
No, he was wrong.
Well, in his.
He hate me.
But that was his idea, is like, we can't beat the caliber of the NFL style play, because it's a bunch of people that didn't make the CFL or NFL.
It was glorified arena football.
Yeah, kinda. A little bit more. But anyway, like, they were ramping up personalities. So like, and even in the Jericho podcast, he was talking about this coach. They had this one, like, matchup for the very first game set, and they were doing practice things, and one of the coaches was being very outlandish.
It was one of the scrimmages, and the guy is, like, flipping over the bench and kicking over the water stand and, like, screaming, and, like, he was going at it.
It was
extreme. So they were like, all right, well, we're going to put that team on instead. And then whenever they aired the game, the dude wasn't doing
it
at all.
None of it.
Because he's a professional coach. And he's like, I'm not going to do
and
that
like, yeah,
on national TV.
Like, it was a scrimmage. I was having fun at a scrimmage. This is an actual game.
Yeah.
There's no reason for that behavior.
And then you have a bunch of things, like there was a bunch of technical issues. They didn't really know what they were doing, per se.
They somehow overly sexualized the cheerleaders, even more so than the regular NFL does.
Which apparently wasn't even Vince's call. That was just people who were like, okay, this is what Vince McMahon wants.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he was just like, you don't watch what I do, because they were just trying to emulate everything from the Attitude Era,
right,
without having any understanding of what it actually was.
And if you actually want to really good, if you're not going to watch the 30 for 30, go on YouTube and go with Wrestling with Regret. Brian Zane did like an 18-minute like video about the XFL, and it was really, really good. But it wasn't in depth. It was just like, hey, here's what happened.
And this is a fascinating story.
And this actually has interviews with Ebersol and Vince and like a lot of people that were there. So, I mean, I also wanted to see it. I haven't had a chance to check it out
yet. I think I'm
going
to try to see if it's on iTunes yet. I might purchase it so I can watch
but
it.
But I don't know if you know this, but this wasn't the first time that Vince McMahon took another sport and said, we can make this like wrestling. He also had a World Bodybuilding Federation where he took bodybuilders and gave them personalities. That's actually where Lex Luger came from.
Yep.
He was in the WWF, and then he came to WWF after that.
I don't know.
Guys, if you want to look that gif up, because there's a classic, and you know which one I'm talking about, Cody. Cody's laughing right now. Also talking about interesting things that are being filmed, the Page Family movie, which is being done through WWE plus The Rock.
WWE Studios and The Rock's production company has signed on to do Wrestling with My Family, which is not a documentary, but it's like a what's the movie
biographical
version?
Biographical movie?
Novelization of, but movie version.
Biopic
of Page's family, who is British wrestling royalty.
Yeah.
Nick Frost has already signed on. I don't think we know his character yet.
No.
And then Lena Headey is Paige's mom.
Yes. Who we had a big discussion about this. Let's just call her Soraya.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to use ring names. Let's just use ring names. That'll make everything easier.
Big question out of this is what with everything that's happening with Paige, who, by the way, rumors came out today that Paige, when she's done with, did you read about this? When she's done with WWE, because apparently they're still not on good terms, that she's going to train for MMA with Alberto Del Rio.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that.
She's crazy.
She's a scrapper. You give her that.
But it'll be interesting to see how they treat the family, knowing that, is this going to be like a Ultimate Warriors? Yeah. Or if it's going to be like a, you know, since it is, it looks like it's not necessarily a fictionalized version. But it's not a straight-up documentary, so they can take whatever creative liberties they want for better or worse.
Based on true events.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how far this goes, though, because they have been making the Chris Benoit movie forever.
See, but there's a difference.
That wasn't WWE Studios.
Yeah, that's not a WWE Studios movie.
That's true.
WWE Studios and The Rock's production company, which is like a legit production company. Like, this is moving forward.
And plus, I would like to think that it's not going to be a trash piece, mainly because they just started the UK championship. Like, you need to harbor some goodwill because they are loved in the United Kingdom.
Her family is a fascinating story. You know, her mother wrestled while she was pregnant with Paige.
Yeah.
Paige was literally in a wrestling ring before she was born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you have to treat that with respect.
I will say I'm very curious to see, like, I'm curious to find out if they signed off on it. Like, if the Knight family is actually, like, on board with this.
I hope so. Considering it's a WWE films and she works for the WWE, I'm really hoping that they at least said, we're going to make this. Can you give us some pointers instead of just going forward without her?
Yeah.
Because that's very disrespectful.
Yeah.
In my opinion. You know.
Well, which, it's WWE.
Between WWE and Hollywood in general, like, it's never stopped them before.
You know what? We missed the boat on talking about, we were talking about the XFL. Mm-hmm. Randy Orton had a very interesting quote that came out this week, last week, where he said the Super Bowl ain't got on WWE.
On WrestleMania.
On Mania. The Super Bowl ain't got *** on Mania.
I mean, I like NXT TakeOver a lot more than I like watching the Pro Bowl.
That's cool.
I mean, it's really, this is just, I just wrote it on there because I thought it might be interesting. Because it's literally just like, well, of course, Randy Orton is going to defend the WWE to Sports Illustrated. But, and honestly, like, I would make the argument that he's not wrong.
Really?
WrestleMania can hold more people attend WrestleMania than they do the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we had a big conversation about this.
Yeah, but I think,
mean, and it is strictly logistically because you, as opposed to a football field, you have a wrestling ring and a ramp.
But I also think the place where the reason the Super Bowl will always outshine WWE, marketing.
Yeah, it's mainstream.
It's mainstream.
It's easier mainstream. But that said, as WrestleMania itself, like, there's the halftime show with, like, Lady Gaga did an awesome thing. There are musical performances at WrestleMania with names just as big, if not bigger, than what they get at the Super Bowl.
Like in WWE?
Yeah, for WrestleMania. Like, you know, Snoop Dogg did Snoop Dogg, Motorhead, Limp Bizkit, when they were, like, on top of the music world.
Okay, in 2003, yep.
And then, like, you look at the Super Bowl halftime show a couple years ago, and it was
The
Red Hot Chili Peppers and
Bruno Mars. Oh, that was a good halftime show.
That was a good halftime show, though.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, but then you look at, like, the caliber of
Well, Flow Rider's usually always at WrestleMania. Well, yeah.
I think to accurately argue this, you have to understand what Orton meant. What's the context of saying the Super Bowl ain't got shit on WrestleMania? Because is he saying the entertainment value? Is he saying the monetary value? Because those things are very, very different. To me, the Super Bowl doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just not a football fan. I like playing football. Mm-hmm. I love playing football, but I don't like watching it. Mm-hmm. Just like baseball. I love playing baseball, but I don't like to watch it. I love watching wrestling. So to me, even when I don't like WrestleMania, when we're angry at it, mm-hmm. we inevitably are, I find it more interesting and fun than watching the Super Bowl. But you cannot, with a straight face, say that the Super Bowl and WrestleMania are on the same levels when it comes to advertising, when it comes to popularity, because the Super Bowl is on another level than WrestleMania.
I don't know, because also you have to keep in mind, up until, like, what, 3 years ago, you had to pay $60 to watch WrestleMania.
And Super Bowl was
Super Bowl's on free network television.
Well, that's because where the Super Bowl makes the money is, you know how much one commercial during the Super Bowl costs?
Oh yeah,
it's outlandish.
Right. Yeah.
Outlandish.
And then you have WrestleMania, which doesn't have commercials.
It doesn't, but you can look at Raw and SmackDown and shows like that where the commercials they get for it. I actually had this on my Facebook last week. It was from a couple years ago where Ford, I believe it was Ford, just flat out, someone said, why don't you advertise during Raw? And they flat out tweeted back, that is garbage TV. We would not advertise on it. And that is the stigma that you have with wrestling versus the Super Bowl.
May I make a statement for Absolutely. Wrestling against the NFL? Is just put the first letter of WWE and then the first letter of the NFL. You have world versus national. WWE has a lot bigger outreach than the NFL does. NFL is
outside of America globally, is what you're saying.
Yeah, globally. Yeah, like world watches
WrestleMania. And I'm talking strictly as like watching the Super Bowl versus watching WrestleMania. Like, I'm not talking about, like, marketing or number. Like,
and that's why I said I would like to know the context of it. Because,
like, numbers why, yeah.
There's no one, and I'm probably wrong.
And that's what Orton's talking about.
How many people do you know that fly from Australia or Japan to watch the Super Bowl?
I mean, I'm sure
I'm sure there's a couple.
Yeah, I'm
sure. But compared to WrestleMania, very small, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Like you said, globally, yes. So I think it's one of those things. In some ways, Orton's right. In other ways, he's wrong. It just depends on how you look at it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion on it. Asuka has the longest reign. Is this of any champion on NXT or what?
Longest NXT women's champion. Okay. And I'm pretty sure it's like longest of any champion on NXT.
Yeah, because I think the title, the record was 41 weeks, right? With
Seth Rollins was never the, or it was either, I want to say it's Bo Dallas or Neville. I want to say it's Neville.
It was Neville and Balor. They tied at 41 weeks.
Did
okay.
they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, Asuka has to be getting there then.
If not already over.
Yeah. Yeah. But she has officially passed Paige's 308 day ring.
Gotcha. Dalton, the most successful Japanese wrestler in WWE.
Nakamura wasn't injured at TakeOver, so he's got that going for him.
He didn't get as hurt as we might have been worried.
They made a video package about that on NXT tonight.
I do want to state that I made that comment before the Rude match.
That's fine.
And
buddy.
It was wrong before then, too. So
it's fine, buddy. Rock and Roll Express are in the Hall of Fame. Congratulations to them.
Yep.
I always liked the Rock and Roll Express. They weren't my favorite tag team because I was a huge fan of the Rockers.
I very much think that this is one of those instances where you cannot deny that the Rockers would not have been a thing without the Rock and Roll Express.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So of course the Rockers were better than the Rock and Roll Express, but you wouldn't have gotten there without them.
No.
And I'm not taking anything away from Rock and Roll Express because again, they were well ahead of their time. And they were great. It's just, it was that base. It's like if you actually thought, you know, that's a bad example. Never mind.
It's like people that look at, the NWO mm-hmm. and say, well, that's the best, you know, ever. Cause look how cool they are.
Yeah.
But if there were no Four Horsemen, there would have never been an NWO. Mm-hmm. They're different styles, but they definitely paved the way for them.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have a lot of tag teams without the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels has said that. Shawn Michaels has been quoted whenever he was talking about the Young Bucks on like Sports Illustrated or ESPN, whenever they were asking, like, are you mad that, they like stole your move, quote unquote? And he's like, well, I stole it from Chris Adams. He's like, that's all wrestling is. You just steal from the people that did it before you. You just figure out a way to do it more.
I'm also not entirely unsure that when they were talking to him about the Young Bucks, he wasn't at first confused thinking they were talking about Hunting.
He doesn't even know who the Young Bucks are.
That's because he thought it was Hunting.
Which was funny because he's like, yeah, no, I've never met them. They seem like nice guys. I like what they're doing. And then both the Young Bucks tweeted like, yeah, he met us. We were at Raw one time.
He just naturally assumed they worked in catering. Or they were someone's kids backstage. Because they're little.
Who do they belong to? Oh.
And then Ellsworth was trying to hit on the Young Bucks. It was really weird.
It was a strange night in Raw. Remember when we were there? It was crazy. This is big news for TNA. The good news is rolling in for TNA week by week. Good for them. They are turning it around. We're happy for them. Because if you go back and listen to old PWUs, almost every episode you will hear us talk about how TNA is almost dead.
Impact.
Impact and Noah have declared a working relationship today.
Yes, mm-hmm. Which will more than likely be a...
That's a Japanese wrestling company, Allie, in case you didn't know. Okay. And for the people out there that don't know.
Yeah.
This is not a fair comparison, but it's, to put it in the simplest terms, Noah is the New Japan Pro Wrestling as Impact is the WWE.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's one of the lesser leagues.
It's like, unquote. It's kind of like the minor league of Japan, which isn't fair to anybody involved in Noah. That's just a generalization.
Right.
It's probably going to be some sort of talent exchange. So we'll be seeing Noah people in the X Division.
Which is just great.
Yeah, no. Yeah. The X Division could be so great. It just, that feels like it's kind of stagnated in the last few years.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer.
It's akin to New Japan and Ring of Honor doing business.
And some of my favorite memories of WCW was when they did talent exchanges with Japan.
All pro.
Yeah, I remember Masahiro Chono being in WCW, Ultimo Dragon. Great Muta.
Yup.
I mean, those were some of my favorite wrestlers in WCW. So, anytime they can bring over, and there's a lot of great talent in Japan if they bring it over to TNA, especially X Division, I agree 100%. That would be just amazing. I can't wait to watch some of that stuff. Hopefully they don't get stuck in stupid storylines.
And really, TNA's doing better. I mean, they're doing better. Like Aaron Rex versus where he is now versus like what he, when he first just came in and he's like, I'm not going to talk about my former employer. But let me proceed to talk about my former employer for 5 minutes. And now he's basically just like a weird twist on Dalton Castle.
Yeah.
With Rockstar Spud as his
their
like,
Instagram video
cummerbund wearing like manservant bellhop thing. It's great. Like, and you know, Drew Galloway's doing this weird kind of loner angle. And
important to note, this came out a couple days ago. You probably saw it already, that Drew Galloway and the Hardys have not re-signed with TNA yet.
Yep.
That is a big thing.
I would love to see Galloway back in WWE.
Absolutely.
He has
more NXT.
WWE.
I mean,
SmackDown.
He's built for SmackDown. Absolutely.
He's ready for SmackDown.
But I could see them just putting him in NXT and he would do better there, I think.
NXT's doing okay. Like, NXT is doing, they're in the rebuilding phase.
They don't need him.
They don't necessarily. SmackDown needs him more. Yeah. SmackDown needs him more. And he has.
And the Hardys.
From when he left to where he is now, like the time he spent in ICW, in TNA, just around the world. He's a whole different wrestler.
Yeah.
And he went from being like, oh yeah, no, he could be great one day to, yeah, he's.
You know, I would be fine with the Hardys having a run in NXT way more than I would Gallows.
Well, I think.
Or Galloway, sorry.
Mm-hmm. I think you put Hardys on SmackDown, have them feud with American Alpha.
They're already dealing with enough weird stuff with, well, that makes sense with Wyatt then. I mean, I was about to say, no, that wouldn't work. And I was like, no, that would work.
Like Hardys would need to be main roster, which apparently that, you know, they haven't signed a new contract yet, but they're heavily leaning towards TNA. As opposed to Galloway, he's more up in the air.
In my heart, I feel like they'll keep with TNA because I think TNA is more likely to give them creative control.
TNA is letting
WWE.
Them do whatever they want.
And if you don't believe that, just watch their specials. Jesus. Mm-hmm. That is an acquired taste. That's like horseradish cheese.
Jesus.
My one condition if you bring Galloway. Yes, Galloway, right? Now you got me thinking Gallows, and I can't stop thinking
Gallows.
I know,
and I do it every time. I'm sorry.
My one condition for bringing Galloway back is keep his music. Because that was the coolest intro music.
The Harvest, or the Shaman's Harvest.
Oh, yes, so good.
Broken Dreams.
Such a good song.
It's not on Spotify or anywhere.
It is on Spotify,
but
not the right
version.
Version
of it. It's
not,
the worst version.
It makes
version
no
of it.
Sense. All right, one last thing, guys. This is the last thing we're going to talk about. Listen. There it went.
How much time do we have left?
Minus 2 minutes.
It's almost like we're not unscripted anymore. Maybe Brandon's right about us.
Brandon's not right about anything.
Nah, you're right.
So you shut your mouth. Elimination Chamber is this Sunday.
Yep.
There's a lot of matches going into it. I don't think we need to talk about everything.
I mean, we can do a real quick rundown.
Please do. Please do, because I don't
have a list. Becky Lynch versus Mickie James. Alexa Bliss versus Naomi for the Women's Championship.
As much as I wish Naomi would win this, because I really love Naomi, I think Alexa Bliss is really coming into her own week after week.
Yep.
So please keep the title on Alexa Bliss.
I would
Bliss.
Also like to see.
Little Miss Bliss is my favorite thing going.
She's so good. We have a tag team turmoil match for the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. So instead of giving anyone a story,
I hate
just throw them all against the wall.
They're treating the tag team division like they treated the women's division before the revolution.
Yeah. And it's, and American Alpha deserves so much better.
A lot of those teams do.
I mean, they really do. American Alpha versus Heath Slater and Rhino versus the Fashion Police Breezango versus the Usos versus the Ascension versus the Vaudevillains.
This
is just going to turn into a cluster, nothing. I think the ref is going to lose control and it's
everyone hits
no
finishers
contest.
And then one guy. Well, no, yeah. I have no doubt that American Alpha will win.
Which is what the exact thing they did on SmackDown.
Exactly.
With the Ascension actually winning.
Ascension to me is the weakest link in there. And I like the Ascension. Mm-hmm. I will always like them. Every single one of those teams deserves better. Yeah. The VOD villains especially.
Oh God, they I came love in. Them.
Simon Gotch, keep your hands to yourself. Quit trying to pick fights.
Damn it.
Again, I feel like
team
that's more
Kalisto and just get it over with.
Sin Cara?
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm so sorry, Kalisto.
Cole, speaking and of kind of Mauro Ranallo, because he got quasi-racist calling.
Speaking of Kalisto, Apollo Crews and Kalisto versus Dolph Ziggler in a handicap match. Makes perfect sense because just
he's beat them
Ziggler's
both
just been trying to attack both of them all at the same time.
So well, no, Ziggler's going to have a tag team partner, a chair.
What sucks about this is that I have no doubt this is the match Dolph Ziggler wins. And it's like, we always want Ziggler, like, oh, give Ziggler a chance. My God, build mm-hmm. him up. And now they're going to build him up at the expense of Apollo Crews, who they've wasted.
Yeah.
And Kalisto, which they've sort of wasted.
It's something on Reddit I saw. It's like Samoa Joe was in NXT for too long, and Apollo Crews was not in NXT long enough.
Absolutely. When Apollo Crews won his match against Ziggler on SmackDown, he got up and was like, I won? Apollo Crews should not do that.
No.
Apollo Crews was being built as a great, because he's a great athlete.
Yeah.
He did that whenever he debuted in NXT too.
Yeah, we're like, well, stop doing it.
Where he was like, he looked at his name on the raise, like, that's me. And I'm like, bro, I've like, been there before.
You're there. Like you belong.
Yeah.
Just announced on SmackDown, Luke Harper versus Randy Orton.
Randy Orton beat Luke Harper a couple weeks ago.
They've gone back and forth a couple times. And then
Allie fell asleep. She literally fell asleep just then.
And then you have the Elimination Chamber match itself, which is they're touting as a new, more dangerous chamber. So I don't know if they did a redesign.
Did you see the pictures that came out today?
Oh, did they release pictures?
Yes.
Is it razor wire?
No. There are chainsaws hanging from.
Is it Resident Evil 7?
Yes.
Elimination Chamber?
Yes.
So it's John Cena, the champion, versus AJ Styles, versus IC champion Dean Ambrose, versus The Miz, versus Baron Corbin, versus Bray Wyatt. And then the idea that I had on Tuesday is to at least make WrestleMania somewhat interesting on the SmackDown side is if you have Luke Harper beat Randy Orton clean, then he can have a actual clean stake, assuming Bray Wyatt wins, to do a Wyatt family triple threat for the title, which is kind of like playing off of the whole Shield triple threat that we never got.
Never got.
At WrestleMania. We got it eventually, but.
And you know what else that does? That gives Wyatt a reason to not take the pinfall.
Yep.
So then you can keep, cause Luke Harper, as much as I love Luke Harper, and I do, we all love Luke Harper, but he's the third man. He's the third wheel.
Yeah,
he'll never be what we want him to be.
I disagree. I think he could be, but he's not there right now. The way they've treated him.
That's what I mean. The way they've treated him.
He's not there now. SmackDown, he cut a promo. Like, he had that weird, the lights hanging in the room. Like, he can talk.
He can. He's great at everything.
What?
Yeah.
Why have they not let you do this before?
Right.
You're so good at it. And I'm a huge Orton fan. He can do everything. Bray Wyatt, again, huge Bray Wyatt fan. So I would rather see a Wyatt family kind of implosion three-way for the championship.
I was not a fan of seeing Baron Corbin pin AJ Styles on SmackDown, but I get it.
Yeah.
They're trying to build, because he's not going to win.
Right.
So they're building him up as he could win. They do it every show.
Right.
Every show.
Yeah.
I do think Miz is going to be the one that eliminates Cena. Especially if the whole rumor of the
Cena Bella
versus Miz Maurice.
Which, that's that's actually an okay match. Like,
yeah,
I would watch that. I know John Cena's going to win it, but whatever. Right.
But honestly, like, this is a match that the Miz doesn't, like, this doesn't hurt the Miz. A loss at WrestleMania against John Cena doesn't hurt the Miz.
Especially if you have Nikki pin Maurice.
Yeah.
There's your out right there.
Mm-hmm. And even if Cena just pins Miz, like, Miz is at a point in his career where he's almost like the Chris Jericho and Kane. Where it's, he's always going to seem like a viable threat.
Contender, yeah.
Not because he's, an amazing wrestler and he can take
which
on.
Which he is, anyone. By which, the way.
Yeah. It's just, his character is, he will find a way to win no matter what.
Right.
So one big loss is not going to.
The most disappointing about this Elimination Chamber is that from what you're saying mm-hmm. and the way you're writing it sounds exactly like the rumors we've heard going into WrestleMania.
Right.
That it will be Miz and Maurice versus John Cena and Nikki Bella. It will be Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. And I hate that because it's my fault. It's my fault for getting on the internet. It is. My fault. When I was a kid and I loved wrestling more, it's because I didn't know what was going to happen. Like, I can imagine if I didn't do this damn show and I didn't read the results and all that, if I watched it without that feedback, I would probably enjoy the program more because I would go, oh wow, Bray Wyatt won. That's cool.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'd put two and two together because I'm fairly intelligent, but the internet ruins wrestling.
Randy Orton's the main event.
But he's his friend.
Royal Rumble winner.
What's going to happen here? We're going to watch Elimination Chamber on Sunday, but before that, we're going to watch Stride on Saturday.
And Marion.
And if you're in our area, please go. We'll be there.
And then in 2 weeks, we'll be watching CCW Tag Team.
Tag Team Chaos.
Is it Tag Team Chaos?
Cage Chaos.
No.
That was last month.
No, that's where I'm getting chaos. That's where I'm getting chaos.
Yeah, it's like Tag Team Warfare. Tag Team Warfare. Keep wanting to say Tag Team Turmoil, but that's.
Really quick, who's your pick to win?
That's what we're going
to get. Tag Team Turmoil? Yeah. What?
Who's your quick pick to win? If you had a gun to
your head. CCW?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought you were talking about ECW. I did too. I was like, American Alpha?
I want Hollis and Austin Lane to win because Hollis.
That was my answer.
I wasn't done yet.
I said quick.
No, I have a story.
Jesus.
I want Hollis and Austin to win.
You did this.
But I think Ace is going to pick Farmer and the Dell.
I am picking Farmer and the Dell.
Also, we're going to chant that.
And he's going to slap your face off his face.
Billy wants it to be the Hillbilly Psychos, which is a good name.
But it's been proven that the tastemakers of CCW decide.
We have spoken.
Yes. Dalton, who do you pick?
Hollis and Lane.
That's who should win.
Team kick their head off.
Yeah. Team awesome. Has there been a Team Awesome? There hasn't been. Yeah. I just coined it. All right, we're going to get out of here, guys. I want you to stay tuned for tomorrow. The very first, we'll figure out a name eventually. It's going to be one of three. Podzilla After Dark, PZ85 After Dark, or my personal favorite, because I'm a nerd, 1985 AD. I want you to tell me what you guys like. But tomorrow, we're retiring Tanner Thursday until the man himself shows up and does the show. That's going to make that show more special.
Yeah.
We've got an all-new feel for it. I've got plans. It's actually really cool. You guys are going to love it. Before that, though, Dalton, I forgot to plug everything last night. Do you have it in you? No. Okay. Go to facebook.com/podzilla1985. Like us on there. Ask us questions. Whatever you guys, you know, interact with us. Dalton.
If you want to support us monetarily, which we would absolutely love, please go to patreon.com/podzilla1985. Donate to us. Anything will get you onto our page. If you give us $10, we'll plug anything you want as long as we are okay with it. Within reason.
As long as it's legal.
Yeah. And then if you want to buy some sweet merch, please go to redbubble.com. Search Podzilla1985.
That PWU shirt is ready to go. It should be up by tomorrow or the next day. You are going to love it. It is amazing.
I'm going to have to buy one.
Yes.
So excited.
If you want to help us out, please do all that. That's greatly appreciated. Another way to help us out, just listen. Share us on Facebook. If you're listening to us on iTunes, give us a review. Rate, subscribe.
Yep. Podzilla1985.com. You can go back and listen to all the old episodes, or iTunes. I'm sure you can go back and listen to old episodes on there. We'll be back tomorrow with the fresh new Thursday coat of paint. I want to thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you then, and have a great night.